Okie Smokey, we're ready to roll. This is the Media Bits Power Hour. Thank you so much to all of you that are joining us. We've been hosting these kinds of calls since 2006. My name is Ernest Orienti with Power Hour, and I have Jed with Media Bids. And, Jed, how about some opening words to our group? We have a wonderful group here. We have participants calling from all over North America, and it's a real delight to be here together with you. Some opening words about Media Bids and what brings us here together.
Thanks. All right. Well, thanks. First of all, I want to thank Ernest. Ernest is really the engine that drives these calls, and obviously he brings the vast majority of the knowledge that goes along with it. So I want to thank him for making these happen. Thank all of you for joining us. Media Bids, www.mediabids.com, is a website where we buy and sell newspaper and magazine advertising. If you haven't registered your publication, we urge you to do so. It doesn't cost anything, and it's a great way to reach out to advertisers that your sales force may otherwise not know about. We'd love to, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call anytime. On our follow-up emails, our numbers are there, or you can visit MediaBits.com. But thanks for joining us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jed. And Jed did a wonderful call on pay per click, pay per inquiry, pay for performance. We've actually done two of those calls. It was wonderful, Jed, to have you host that last month. For any of you that would like to learn more about Media Bids, please go to their website. It's at the bottom of the invitation. It'll also be in the follow-up that you'll receive after our call, which will come out later today. So it's a delight to be here together, Jed. Thank you for your support. To all of you who are joining us, some that have been here for every call who have never missed, you know who you are. We know who you are. We love it. We love your absolute passion. It was fun, though, to say hello to some of the groups that were first joining at the beginning of the call who have not been. This is your first time. Holy smoly, we're glad you're here, and we got a lot of ground to cover. Myself and Jed have been doing this for a very long time. We've been in and around publishing and advertising for more than 20-plus years, and we really understand your world. And each month, as we select a topic, it comes directly from your feedback. So please know that during the course of this call, if there's any specific topics you'd like us to cover along the way, let us know. More importantly, send an email to ernest@powerhour.com or hit reply to the email that got you here with the phone information, and we're going to field your questions during the course of this call. At the top of the hour, we'll open it up and more casually hang out for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Okay? So we're going to cover today selling your top 10 prospects, and I want to just say a few opening words. In these economic times, you need this call. We know you need this call, but frankly, a month ago, we did not know the economic climate we would be in today. Whether we're talking about Wall Street, Main Street, or your street where you live or where you work, our economic times and economic realities have rapidly changing. And frankly, as taxpayers, it's not a good time. Businesses are feeling it. Individuals are feeling it. Homeowners, mortgages, and your advertisers, okay? So, and you pause and go, hey, Ernest, thanks for the good news for joining. What a way to start the call. Hey, you know what? We have to get real and be real with the economic situation that we're in. And it means that you as advertising sales professionals have got to be smarter and stronger than ever before. No gray area, okay? And I also want you to know that in the world of advertising, when you look at the pie, if there were 100 ideal advertisers, and if you think about that pie, you either are eating those advertisers or being eaten. And what I mean by that is you're either securing those advertisers and securing those ads in that biz, or your direct competitors are, whether it's newspaper versus newspaper, magazine, direct mail. We have a whole cross-section of advertising teams and publishing professionals. You have to think from the perspective that if there's 100 that are your best and your most ideal, you cannot go create 100 more. Okay, you've got to pause and say, those are my 100. Those are my best opportunities. And how come 3 ads are being placed in 3 other publications or in 3 other sources, and I'm not getting my piece of that pie? And so, in essence, we're going to talk today about your top 10 prospects. We're going to cover 3 key points. Number one, who your prospects are and why. What pre-meeting research and preparation is required. That's point number one. Later in our call, we'll talk about what are the strategies for getting a meeting with a top 10 prospect. We're going to give you tips, tools, and strategies. You'll hear from Jed and myself. And then number three, you have 30 minutes to present to a top 10 prospect what matters most. Okay? So those, Jed, will be the 3 key points that we're going to cover here today. Okay?
Great.
All right. So who are your top 10? Now, sometimes This may sound like a very basic step. It's not. And the reason I say that, and when Jed and I were preparing this call today, we paused and said, you know, top 10 seems so obvious, it seems so easy. And I paused and I said, you know, Jed, that's not always the case. In fact, what I hear is, here are my top 10 because they're the hot ones, or here are the top 10 because they're my last presentation. Or, you know, and I want all of you to think about your top 10 in a much bigger way. In fact, they're really the unattainable, or the ones you've always wished, or you've always salivated and you really wanted. So let's set some criteria here. And I realize that we have advertising sales teams, and we have advertising sales managers, and we have publishers, and we have VP of sales. We have a huge call. So recognize that, you know, within your team, within your structure, you need to think about these key points. We're going to give you kind of a menu, the way that we define it, and then, of course, you can sort of customize that and custom tailor that for you and your team. So number one, no doubt, who is the biggest advertiser? In order to be a top 10, who is the biggest advertiser in your direct competitor? Okay, far and away. If I were to parachute and had 8 hours to be in any of your markets and spend the time working with your team, I would say, okay, put your book, put your magazine, your newspaper, your publication, your direct mail, whatever you got, put it on the table. Now, show me your next competitors. Okay, cool. How many full pages do you have? How many full pages do they have? Where are they? Who are they? How many of those full pages are only in their magazine or is in a second or third? How many of those full pages that you have, you know, are only in yours, full pages, double trucks, you know, all the big stuff. I want to know where they are, okay? I can tell you maybe 15 years ago I was part of some due diligence. Our company was being acquired by a larger one, our publication was, and they were doing all kinds of research. We were in 70, 80 cities all over North America, and they did some very interesting spreadsheets, Jed. They had us build all of our advertisers alphabetical and by page size, and then they had us build a couple of columns, and they said, okay, who are your direct competitors? And they had us sort it by, now, how many of those full-page advertisers are only in yours? How many are in one other competitor? How many are in two other competitors? How many are in all three of them? It's very interesting. You know, you sort of think you're on the pulse, you know, of your own market until you see it in black or white. You go, wow, we don't have quite as much market share as we thought. Or conversely, wow, we really are the dominant player.
Right.
You know? So that's number one. Who are the biggest advertisers of your competitors, okay? Number two, who are the biggest advertisers who are buying ads in any other places? In any other places. I mean, who are the biggest players in your particular marketplace? All right, so because so often I find that we just have this tunnel vision that we've got, you know, here are my top prospects, and it's only in my space. And if your publication is very niched, is very tight, for example, if you just work in the horse sector and you may never have an automotive ad, that's fine. I get that, okay? But if you have the demographics and you have a horse publication and you have the demographics that would match, you know, the Lexus dealership, well, then that's what I mean by thinking outside the box and looking at who the real big players are. If you have a horse publication and it really only works with, you know, the horse trainers, it doesn't really work with the affluent horse owners, then maybe the auto dealers don't make sense, okay? So I like to keep this point here because I feel like sometimes we can really get so tunnel vision, so focused just on our horse magazine and not think about the broader demographics, okay? Point number two. Point number three, again, this is, again, at 30,000 feet. You know, who are the biggest advertisers locally if you're local or regional if you're regional and, of course, national if you're national? We know we got all three kinds of publications like that, okay? So, again, this is where you step back at 30,000, 50,000 feet and you really look at those. Here's another key way to define who's on your top 10 prospects. Who would be a real wow advertiser? Now, what we mean by wow, it's, you, again, using the horse magazine example, and you pause and say, wow, you know what, that Lexus dealer is in all of the real high-end coffee table. I do have the right demographics. We do speak to the owners of horses, and we're going to secure the Lexus dealer. That would be a wow for me and my team. That would be a wow because all the other advertisers would see it. That would be a wow because now I can go sell 3, 4, 5 more dealers. I'll go to the Range Rovers. I'll go to the Mercedes. I'll go to the Jag. I'll get all of them because, you know what, I finally broke through. So that wow advertiser would fall under your top 10, okay? A suggestion and recommendation related to, because we wanted to give you some very specific points related to these top prospects. Once you go through, in fact, let me just pause here. Jed, as you're listening to, as we're kind of describing and defining top prospects, anything else that you'd like to add to that, just in your years of experience or observations?
Well, just to illustrate your point about sort of the wow advertiser, I mean, one of the things that big consumer national magazines very often do, and I'm not suggesting that people do this necessarily, but just to illustrate your point, is for example, if they're not doing as well, if a big national women's magazine is not doing as well, for example, in the cosmetics industry, they will literally give away ads to a couple players in that sector, just to build up their chances of selling to other players in that sector. You know, again, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but just to show you how valuable that way of thinking can be.
Mm-hmm.
It really does impact where advertisers very often feel they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And very sophisticated advertisers, not just, you know, this isn't necessarily, you know, one pizza shop saying, you know, well, if Tony's in, I'm in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is, these are big national brand advertisers.
Absolutely. And there's that whole, Jed, that whole Me Too effect, the whole domino effect. Like, for
right.
example, in my corporate days where we secured a storage company, all of a sudden we had now 80 markets because they all could see that there was one that was there. It made sense. And then after that, we added another, like a U-Haul. And all of a sudden the U-Hauls went, broop, you know, and went national. So sometimes there's two ways to think of your top prospects. Number one, top prospects within your core audience. So using, again, the Horse magazine in that core audience, who are my top 10? But there are sometimes, depending on the readership and the readers of your publication, your newspaper, your magazine, that there are some that are just outside that would really create this wow effect. And, the wow effect is a big deal. We take for granted something related to publishing, but, Jed, we've talked about this in prior calls. The reality is that if we were all in the copier business, I could sell 500 copiers, Jed, within 1 mile of where your office is, and you'd never know it. In fact, unless you went out and made presentations and found, my mugshot above the copier, you wouldn't know it was there, right?
Right.
But in the publishing world, every time we come out, for those of us who are weekly or every other week or monthly or quarterly, whatever it is, we get a report, or daily for that matter, it's a report card. Every single day, every single issue that comes out, I can see my ads, the ones I gained or lost. My team can see it. My competitors can see it. My advertisers can see it. My readers can see it. And my prospective advertisers. We get a report card every single time. For those of us who thought that, getting report cards ended when we got out of high school or college, guess what? We're still living in the same space.
Right.
So, Jed, that's that wow factor that you want to go, wow, I got the Lexus dealer in my Horse magazine. Now I can go get the Mercedes dealer.
Right, right.
Right?
Right, exactly. The only thing I would add to when you're thinking about who your top trend prospects are is that, obviously, finding advertisers that, that have the kind of budgets that make them a top 10 advertiser mm-hmm. are important. But there also has to be a story behind it. I mean, Ernest alluded to it in terms of figuring out in the Horse magazine example that the demographics were perfect for the Lexus dealer. But that's a really important part of it, right? Is to figure out that story of why it is that your publication is going to serve this need for this advertiser. It can't just be that that your readers are loyal and you think that they would like the product. There needs to be a little more meat to it than that.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you say there has to be more meat, because in our third point, we'll talk about that. In the 30-minute presentation, you better stand on the head of a pin and dance and get it right. You better be bold, crisp, clear, and meaty when we make that presentation. Point well made. I want to make a couple more comments about top 10 prospects, okay? So as all of you are listening to us kind of roll through this, think about where and how you're going to display this. And think about how you want a visual tool. And for some of you, we've talked about this in prior calls. I have an article, if you'll just send me an email. It's called How Do Your Walls Sell? Okay? And in my sales offices and all of my clients, we have sales boards. And I'm talking about sales boards, imagine in your mind, 10 feet tall and sometimes 10 or 15 or 20 feet long. Imagine taking the entire wall.
You need
okay?
a bigger office.
That is your conference room, okay? Now, the only exception, of course, Jed, is if we have, you know, people, you know, clients coming in, you've got to go put that somewhere else. Some of my clients encase it in wood so they can just close it, okay? But bottom line, take a big board and call it your top 10 prospects. Put their names up there. Make notes about the progress. Make notes about the last meeting or presentation. Make notes about what's happening, you know, with the competitors, tracking what's happening with the competitors. You have a really big goal and a really big visual that every time you walk into your conference room, it's a reminder that I'm still trying to find that Lexus dealer for my horse magazine, okay? Also remember in prior calls we've talked about the McKay 66. For those of you that would like more information about the McKay 66, again, just send me an email after today's call. Those are the 66 points that Harvey McKay wrote about in How to Swim Without Being Eaten Alive. It is fantastic. You need to know a lot, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute, but you need to know a lot about your prospects, and we'll give you some very specific points in the second part of our call related to that, okay? So briefly, the McKay 66, if you want a copy, send me a note, and we'll share that with you. Also, big picture, once you identify your top 10, okay, and sales managers and publishers and VPs of sales that are with us, if you've got 5 people or 50 people, I mean, this is obviously a larger project depending on how many people, each of your salespeople should have their own top 10. So if you're managing a team of 10, that means 100, okay? But every single month to 6 weeks, within that spread of time, forever, I want all of you to write down that word, forever, you're going to have a marketing plan and a marketing approach for these top 10. Because if you're going to have any chance of moving them forward, you have to have a consistent, repetitive approach. For the same reason, oh my gosh, Jed, here we are talking about advertising. For the same reason we know that advertising works over what? Repetition and time, right? The right message to the right audience. All of us know the power of advertising. Holy smokes, what are we doing with our own top 10, top 50 as an organization, top 100, top 500 if we're a national publication? What are we doing to nurture those relationships, right, Jed?
Right.
I mean, we know the power of advertising, so why would we not so quickly get the principle? I was only chuckling because when I do this at call with groups that are not publishing professionals, it takes a moment to sink in. I'm going, wait a minute, we're at home here with everybody who knows the power of advertising. What are we doing every 4 to 6 weeks with the top 10?
Right.
Okay. Now we'll talk in a couple of minutes about some of the things that. That include that. Now, let's talk about second part of point one. We talk what we promised to cover, what pre-meeting research and preparation is needed. So here are a list of those things. Number one, of course, any past advertising they've done with us and anything we know about the results. I can remember bumping into an ad, oh gosh, 20 years ago, bumping in going, what do you mean they're not advertising? I just pulled out their folder. They paid on time. They had amazing results. I've got all the evidence of it. What happened here? Oh, I don't know. You know, I guess we just stopped calling on them. I was like, stop calling on them. I can't wait to go meet them. I got 600 leads I can't wait to show them that we generated. So any past ads that we've run, any past results that we can demonstrate, any past notes about the history of the past or current buyer. I've got a client in the Midwest that we've been working with, a beverage company, for a very long time. We locked horns over a payment issue with that buyer. The buyer got offended. And we never got another ad. Straight up, Jed. Straight up story. Okay? Guess what? That buyer went away, and within 48 hours of that buyer leaving, we re-engaged and we're back rolling again. Okay? So those things happen. So anything we can gather about past or current buyer is helpful. Okay? No doubt we've talked about where they currently advertise it and how and for how long and for what size and what amount. Jed, that goes back to your point, you know, to go find those that are spending money. Well, the first piece is I need to know, you know, what. Let's go back to this Lexus example for just a second. Within my marketplace, this target area, do I know their advertising? Do I know what they're spending? Do I know the frequency? Do I know how long? Do I have the rate cards of my competitors, for example? Even in this case, it might be radio or TV or even billboards. I want to know the total spend from that Lexus dealer, if I'm going to bring them into my horse magazine. I want to know where they're spending all that money. And frankly, to your point earlier, Jed, I want to know if they truly have the budget. I think they have.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. I mean, those issues are all critical when you're trying to figure out what they're whether they're a good candidate. You know, and as far as you mentioned response. You know, if you can get any data at all on the response that they've gotten mm-hmm. from ads in your publication in the past, or mm-hmm. or response that they're getting from other publications. You know, it really helps you drill down on things like their cost per acquisition, you know, their cost per lead. You know, those all become really valuable metrics
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to show someone that advertising with you is going to make them money.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about that in the media comparison a little bit later in today's call, and I'll also tie that into tracking of the results and so forth, but you're absolutely right. Anything we can show that will validate that is 100% key. Thank you to those of you that are sending in emails related to how do your wall sell. We'll definitely send that to you after the call. Again, any questions you have, send an email to earnest@powerhour.com or just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you to our call. All right, so I want to a couple of more points related to this, and then we're going to tuck in some of the questions that are coming in. Matt, I just saw yours rolling in as well. We'll take a look at that. Remember, look at payment history, okay? Clients that you pause and go, I really want that Lexus dealer, and man, you know, kind of see their budget. And then you go into collections, you go into your accounting department, you go find out, you know, they didn't pay. Oh, yeah, they used to advertise. We kicked them out. They're a slow payer, no payer. There was a hassle. We had to take them to court. Well, guess what? They don't qualify as a top 10 prospect, okay, unless they're going to pay or unless they pay up front. You know, we'll have to define that. I want to give all of you some additional things that you can do. Technology is wonderful. Let it work for you. There are some things that you can do, some things that we do when we help our clients with the top 10 prospects that relate to the Internet and relate to using search engines, okay? So if you have the Lexus dealer as a starting point, you can take their company name, put it in Google, and see what you learn. You have to add, you know, Lexus dealer in your city or state, or you know, you have to add some qualifiers in that particular case. Number two, take their exact domain address, put it in Google, see what you find. Each of these searches will give you different things, okay? Number three, put their phone number, kind of interesting, put their phone number into Google and see what you find there. If you have a particular buyer or a particular decision maker, take their email address, their exact email address, and put it in. So if it's rick@lexus.com, see what you find there. Kind of interesting. You'll be very intrigued with what you learn. Other good options too,
some of these business networks like LinkedIn,
right?
Is a good one. And then even some of the social networks. It's amazing to me mm-hmm. how much information you can find out about individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they're very open with sort of their thoughts, even on business related matters on these social networking sites that, you know, you wouldn't expect.
You are absolutely right. LinkedIn is a great example. Take the decision maker you're working with, put their name in LinkedIn, go look at their profile. Okay,
right.
Very interesting. And you will find all kinds of interesting things that you learn. Here's another one. Take the name of the company in quotes. So it has to be in that order, and put the person's name, the CEO or the buyer, in quotes, so it has to be in that order, and go also see what you learn about either that company or the decision maker that you're working with. Here's one more. Jed, do you know what the Wayback Machine is?
Sure. It shows you websites as they existed in prior time.
I am totally floored. If I said that to 50 people, I would be 0 for 50. Nobody would know that. I love that. That's very cool.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, Wayback Machine. You go to Google, put in the Wayback, just write, type in Wayback Machine, three words, and up will come the URL. It's archive.org. okay? You put in the actual URL of that company, and just to see where they've been, how long they've been in business, and how long they've and where they progress. Just for fun, put Starbucks in, put Dell in, put Amazon.com. You'll see Amazon's first website from the first time they launched it, and then you'll see every major iteration or change or revision ever since then. If you actually put in my company, Power Hour, you'll see all the way back to 1998, a single standalone page, and it talked about my coach work and the work with publications and so forth. So it's a lot of fun. I don't know, Jed, if you've looked at Media Bits from the first day, but it is really fun to go look at the.
I don't want
to
look at it. Yeah, you know what? Another great tool is a lot of people know is Alexa.com, Alexa.com.
Perfect.
And what that does is gives you, it'll give you a real good sense of how dependent a company is on their internet, on their internet presence in general and their website specifically, because it gives you rankings and traffic information on almost every website out there. If they're ranked below, I think, 50 million or some real real high number, then you don't get any information. But most websites that have been around for a while will be on there, and that and it'll give you really a lot of information about traffic.
I love that, and that's spelled Alexa, Alexa. And as you're listening to us roll through these strategies and get pretty excited, you sort of pause and say, well, gosh, what am I going to do, spend a week researching a company? You know what? Go back 20 years ago, and if you weren't IBM or Motorola or Delta Airlines, if you Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, you had a whole research department. You had a whole research room, people that went and did this kind of research. Now you can do everything we're talking about in 10 minutes or less. 10 minutes or less, you know exactly who you're dealing with, okay? So the point is that these are all techniques that you can learn more about who you're working with. One more quick one, and then we'll shift to point number two, and that is interview anybody that connects with you. So, for example, let's just use this Lexus piece for just a moment. If somebody reaches out maybe from their marketing department, again, I'll just use the Horse Magazine example, and reaches out to you and says, hey, you know, listen, we've never really advertised with you, but I know you're well-connected. I've seen you at different functions. Hey, I'd love to learn more about your magazine. I'm doing a little networking in these economic times. Take the time to talk to them. Take the time to maybe reach out and help, but also selfishly take the time to learn about that Lexus dealer, that Lexus owner, that Lexus budget. You'll be amazed at the kinds of things that you will learn along the way, okay? It's a very indirect model. I have used it for a very, very long time. For those of you that have been on other calls where we've talked about interviewing, I always, always interview anyone who's ever worked for my competitors. I learn a lot as well from there. Okay, so again, we'll take your questions along the way. There was a question that rolled in. Let me just put it on the screen for us, Jed. And it says, in an effort to increase our sales of display advertising, we developed Inside Sales Group. We've been selling successfully over the phone and face-to-face. What is your opinion of selling face-to-face versus by phone? So let's address that. When we're talking about top 10, Jed, face-to-face versus by phone, ideally, the very best would be face-to-face. So let's suppose you're local, they're local, no doubt face-to-face. Let's suppose you're local, they have local stores or retail or local teams or offices, and somebody else is long distance. Ideally, you would see them when they travel in. Maybe they travel in weekly or quarterly, go find their schedule. And, of course, if necessary and when needed, initially by phone, and if there's interest and excitement, but there's more questions and more work to be done, you know, what is a flight? Coast to coast is $400, you know, $200, $300. Get face-to-face when we're talking about the caliber of the kind of opportunity that we're talking about here, okay? So thanks for the question, and I hope that's helpful. Jed, let's shift to point number two. All right, so we've been talking about our top 10 prospects and why, and talking about pre-meeting research. Let's talk about the strategies for getting the meeting. For getting the meeting. This is a reoccurring theme. Gatekeepers and voicemail, and I can't get this one, and I can't get that one. Look, I want all of you to know, and just write down the words, be creative. Be creative. We're in sales for a reason. We like creativity. We like challenges. We like the adrenaline rush. We like to bag the big win. And if you don't, okay, then maybe sales isn't for you. For those of you that you really enjoy it and you love the thrill, then you have to pause and say, those are all challenges, Ernest. Those are all pebbles. Those aren't mountains. I know how to get over pebbles. I'll find a way. I'll make a way. I'll go through the front door. I'll go through the back door. I'll jump in the windows. And we're going to give you some examples of those here today, okay? But you've got to approach it with a mindset. And the other piece I'll often hear, oh, Ernest, I've tried, you know, for 10 months. Oh, Ernest, I've made 10 calls, you know. And I say, well, how about number 11? Are you done? Is that it? You know, how big are you really willing to play? You know, there was a gentleman by the name of Andrew who worked for me years and years and years ago, and his favorite quote was, if it's to be, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. I love that. Okay? So you've got to have a mindset of success, but you've got to have a mindset of persistence. Okay? So let's talk about some of the examples. No doubt, we're going to do our homework. Okay? No doubt, phone and voice messages. I love voice messages. You know what I get to do, Jed? I get to leave a 25-second commercial of something of significant value. Hi, it's Ernest with Horse Magazine ABC. I know you handle all the buying for Lexus. And I have three compelling reasons to speak with you and two important trends that I want to tell you about in the horse business and in the demographics of what I bring as it relates to Lexus. And then I can't wait to call the Mercedes dealership to say, oh, and by the way, I just sold an ad to Lexus. I can't wait to talk to you. I know you're the buyer at the Mercedes.
Right.
Okay, so use voicemail. Voicemail is your friend, but please do not get on there. Hi, it's Ernest. I have a horse magazine, and my number is, will you please call me? No one's going to. You've got to give them a compelling reason.
Right. You don't want to tell them, you don't want to ask them for the opportunity to talk about your publication. You want to tell them how you can help them, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's a big difference, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times people who represent publications are so caught up in, you know, in explaining the value of their publication, they lose sight of the fact that, you know, the guy they're calling or the woman they're calling doesn't care. They just want to know what it's going to do for them.
Mm-hmm. You better believe it. It always has to be about not the features but the benefits, and it always has to be carefully tailored. Remember, you've done your homework, okay? And it might even say, and in my homework, I know that Lexus buys ads in four magazines that are horse-focused, or I know that Lexus is a sponsor of four kinds of events, and I have one of those events here in this market. You've got to give them a very compelling reason. And you'll get some response back like, okay, you finally got my attention. You know, thanks for being persistent, okay?
Right. Or what if I could give you, you know, mm-hmm. what if I could give you at a lower cost per thousand than you're paying anywhere else access to mm-hmm. 50,000 people who make more than $150,000 a year.
Perfect.
And have a discretionary income that is unrivaled.
Perfect.
You know,
love
they,
it.
They would, you know, that's gonna interest somebody.
Mm-hmm. You better believe it. And it says you did your homework because you know where their ads are. You know what the cost per thousand is. You know your demographic story. And you know you've got a compelling reason to talk to them, right?
Right.
Yeah, you bet. Here's another point, okay? Make friends with the gatekeepers, okay? I can tell you over the years, the executive assistants to my own clients, I have one client whose daughter is a singer. She sends me the music of her daughter. I have another client over time, happens to be a passionate skier who's up in Canada. We always talk about ski and snow conditions. I have another client up in the Pacific Northwest where most recently just had a baby and just came returned back to work. Make friends. I have all kinds of examples all over the world, whether they're clients or prospective clients, that I have a working dialogue and a working relationship. As a little small whisper for you, with your top 10 clients, not only do you need to know that, but take the time to appreciate them. Send them a little food gift in February or March. You don't have to wait for the holidays. You randomly pick that window of time with your top 10 clients and make certain you have a really strong bond. By the way, as a small whisper as well related to this, your top 10, those who cut the checks in the accounting department, make sure you know their names and send them a little $20 or $30 food gift. Cheryl's Cookies, Fairy Tale Brownies, you name it. They're all wonderful examples. $25 will last a lifetime. People will call you up and say, no one's ever thanked me. By the way, you'll get paid on time. Okay? So form a bond. All right? Next point, within companies, let's again use Lexus. Maybe you're trying to go through the front door. You're trying to find that buyer. Maybe you come through the back door and you have a relationship with the service department. Or maybe you come through the windows, you develop a relationship with their ad agency. please recognize these are all opportunities. Do not continue. I'll hear oftentimes, Ernest, I've made 11 calls to the Lexus dealer, and Mary won't call me back. I said, oh, that's interesting. Is the dealership just one employee? Is that it? Is that the best you're going to do? Is that as creative as you can get? Okay? Remember, selling and sales is about being creative. Find other opportunities, okay? Try face-to-face. If you do have local opportunities, try face-to-face early or late. Leaders lead. Leaders soar. Leaders get in at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. Leaders are there at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. When I ran local publications, I even knew the cars and the color of the cars of my prospects. And I could drive by their offices, and I could see their, you know, their black Chevy truck. And guess what I did, Jed? I went in and said hello.
Flattened the tire.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. If I had to come by one more time. Hey, there were some that I knew there 6 and 7 in the morning. I brought a cup of coffee and a bag of donuts. They were my top prospects. They became top clients. Okay? These are the stories of success. For those of you that are sitting on this call with teams of 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 of them, get creative as a group. Share your ideas as a group. I have a group in Michigan that's sending hourglasses to their top 10 this month. Top 10 asking for a few moments of their time. 35 they've identified are their top, well, there's 5 of them they've identified, 35 amongst the 5 of them. 35 hourglasses are going out. Okay, that's another approach, using a direct mail. Let's also talk about things like, and this goes back to the McKay 66, know what their sports interests are along the way. Know what their hobbies are. Know about their families or kids. Okay? How do you get this anecdotal information? Well, maybe you're working your way through the back door and you're talking to the accounting department who maybe got a little connection. You can't get to Mary the buyer, but you learn that Mary's a big hockey fan and she's gone today because, you know, she's out, you know, watching the hockey. Or maybe, you know, something about her kids or who knows what. You get that little anecdotal information, and then when you get to the next voice message, you say, hey, how'd the Ducks play last night? Okay? Or you do even better and you say, I got tickets, you know, to take you to the hockey game. Will you come join me? You already know that Mary's a fan. And Mary's sitting there going, man, every time I turn around, Jed's calling me with something that's of interest to me. Okay? Be creative. Conventions, industry shows, joining committees where your ideal prospects are is wonderful. Wonderful. I mean, you can go to industry conventions. You can be on the committees that help plan trade shows and events, depending on, let's again use the horse magazine. There might be a horse association that you might join. And there might be committees that they form. One might be their annual convention or show. And on that committee might be the buyer, Mary from Lexus. Okay? I can also tell you, I was working with a group of publishers about a week ago, Jed, and we were talking about industry shows and conventions, and I said, hey, listen, all kidding aside, I said, you know where your clients are at these shows and events. Go find them. Then go find your prospects. And then when you find Mary Brown wandering into the keynote presentation, just happen to slide right beside her and end up sitting right next to her. There are no accidents. And the group just erupted in laughter. They were like, oh, my God, Ernest, you know, you really are creative. I said, hey, look, you do what it takes. You do what it takes, okay? So a couple of other points, and again, we'll field any questions by email, so please feel free to email us during this call. Think about using traditional mail. Email is for top 10 prospects. Everyone uses email because it's easy for you. It's also easy for them to go click delete. Think about using traditional postal mail, an invitation to an upcoming event, industry trends, an article or clipping about them, print it off. Yeah, of course, you can send a URL over. That's easy. Try to do something a little more creative. And honestly, nowadays, regular postal mail is more creative. Think about an article about them, an article about their company, you know, any information about industry trends, those kinds of things. You put it in an envelope, and they really appreciate that. Okay? Jed, anything else to add to this strategies for getting the meeting?
No, I think you know, I think that it all makes sense, and obviously mm-hmm. everyone has a different style. You know, mm-hmm. I think the main thing is not assuming that that lack of interest is the same as a no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm. yeah,
tough
you know,
to do sometimes.
No, that is a very good point. Let me make a comment on that. sometimes there's two comments here. Sometimes I'll hear Ernest, you know, I've tried 10 times, and you know, and I always go back to, let's go back to the creativity, let's go back to the McKay 66, let's go back to any insight, let's go back through, you know, how do we come through the back door, jump through the windows? I mean, how else can we turn the diamond two more degrees, and keep turning it? Then I'll say, and the bottom line is, have they given you a no? Well, no, I don't get a call back. Okay, well, that means that you still have not got, you don't even know what their objections are. You have to continue to be creative and continue moving forward, and it may take 10 more times, and that's okay. Here's the good news. Once you get them, because they're so hard to reach, you'll get them and you'll own them and they'll be with you forever because they're not going to respond to competitors any differently. Okay, so that's the good news. For those even who say no, Jed, to your point, a no means what? Not no, never, forever. It means no, not now. Or it means no, at this moment, you have not given me enough of a compelling reason to say yes. Remember, the onus is on us. We tell our story, and if we do it really well, we sell ads. And if we don't, then we get a no. And the no only means, no, you didn't give me a compelling reason. So again, using the Horse magazine, if my presentation went like this, we have 10,000 readers of our magazine, and we know that half of them, every single year on October 1st, buy a new Lexus. How fast would we sell an ad? Because we gave them a compelling reason. Now, you might pause and listen to that and go, okay, Ernest, you don't know that. No, I don't, but you get my drift. Right. My point is, if I said that, right, Jed, to that Lexus deal, they'd be like, I could sell 5,000 cars on October 1st?
Right.
How come you didn't tell me that? I would have bought 50 ads from you. I'll buy the whole magazine.
Right.
That's what I mean by compelling reason. Okay. So let's shift gears here, and let's talk about this third point. And again, at the top of the hour, we'll open up and field in a much more informal way. We'll field your questions, but any specific questions over the balance of this call, just send a quick email or reply to the invite, and we'll field and tuck those in. Okay. This third point: 30 minutes to present to a top prospect. And I don't know if any of you have actually done this. I know I have. I've literally said to a prospect, look, I've waited 2 years to have an opportunity to present to you, but I know you're busy. All my advertisers are busy, but I want your business. I want an opportunity to come in to give you the three compelling reasons why you need to be in our Horse magazine. And I'm asking specifically for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm asking specifically for 30 minutes, and that's it. At the end of 30 minutes, I'll leave your office. And I've literally walked into those meetings, taken my watch off, and said, Mary, I asked for 30 minutes, and at 30 minutes, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to say, are we done? Is there anything else you need to know? I'm going to ask you for your business, and I'm going to turn and leave unless you give me permission to spend any more time. And I've literally taken my watch off and said those words and made that impact. Okay? So you have 30 minutes. Jed, this mirrors some of the points that you said earlier. So let's roll through them. Number one, your USP. USP stands for unique selling proposal or unique selling position or your unique selling point, your unique strategic point. It's all the same thing. You have got to be absolutely crisp and clear where your strengths are, where the weaknesses are of your competitors, where they're currently advertising, and exactly what sets you apart, period.
And you know, one thing I would just add to that, Ernest, is be realistic about it. It's, you know, I talk to a lot of publications, and I can't tell you how many publications tell me that the geographic area they serve is the richest in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably hear that once a week, and it's not from the same regions. You know, I think if you're realistic about it, not everyone is trying to reach, you know, is trying to reach Warren Buffett. You know, I mean, it can be. You know, if you're realistic about what it is your publication does, I think you're better off than if you vastly overstate it. So that's just my own personal advice.
No, you're absolutely right. You've got to be honest with. Look, I just bumped into a publication over the weekend that there's only 10,000 readers and the average net worth is $25 million. You cannot subscribe to it.
Right.
Okay, they select you. Okay. And I thought that was interesting. I mean, that's an example of, you know, you slice that and, you know, off you go. But there are many other reasons for why publications have an audience. So whether it's, you know, about buttons or beads or horses or a shopper or a newspaper, each of you and each of us have our own unique USP, and you've got to be really crisp and be able to articulate that. And I'm talking about on the back of a business card in 10 words, 15 words or less.
Right.
Our publication exists because blank.
Right, and I think it's okay not to be the one who reaches the most desirable demographic.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can make a case as why you're the best at reaching what you do reach, you know, now it just becomes a function of finding the advertisers who are trying to reach them, and
right.
There's someone trying to reach everybody. You know,
absolutely. I can remember making sales presentations, Jed, where I walked into a meeting and said, based on my evaluation of your business and my research before walking in here, you're running at 80% capacity, which means during the course of the 30 minutes, you're going to lose another $17,000 in performance. Oh, and by the way, your current advertising that I've evaluated, you're only in one-third of the distribution circulation locations. I brought the list today for the other two-thirds. You want them? Good. We're buying ads, aren't we, today?
Right.
So I want all of you to know, when you're sitting down with a top 10, this is very different. This is very different than sitting down, building rapport, probing questions. These buyers are serious. You're working with VPs, operational directors, CEOs, owners, presidents. They do not have the time of day. You walk into that meeting, you gain their attention, and you drop the biggest point you have, the biggest opportunity you have, you handle it right up front. Listen, I appreciate, Mary, you got the opportunity. You give me the opportunity to come in for 30 minutes. I know that you're busy, and there are three specific reasons I told you, and I'm going to tell you right out of the gate. I've got a horse publication. I've got 10,000 readers. 5,000 buy new Lexuses every year, and they all buy them on October 1st. Do I have your attention? You get that crisp, truly that crisp, okay? And you get it right up front, and that person's eyebrows go up and go, man, you are serious. Some will say, boy, you really came in to bag some sales. Says, yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you that there were three reasons, and that's my first one. You ready for the second? Nobody has the circulation or distribution or the reader list of mine. Have you ever seen this statistic or this kind of buying survey or this kind of factual information? Has anyone ever showed you? By the way, I know you buy a lot of direct mail. Here are my postal receipts. Anyone ever shown you those? Here's my printer invoice. Ever seen one of those? Here's my distribution route. Ever seen one of these? And they're sitting there going, whoa, where did you blow in from? It is that strong. I mean, I'm giving it to all of you pretty unfiltered, but it's not far off from the way you have to present to a top 10. You have got to hit them square between the eyes. And some of you are going, oh, gosh, but I, you know, what about building rapport and the kumbaya? And, you know, oh, gosh, I can see you got a boat, you know, a sailboat behind your desk. There's no time for that. Now, if you can get past the first 5 minutes and you can get past the first three or four key points, then you can settle in and build rapport and build a relationship, but you're not going to get the time of day. That buyer gave you a small window. You may not get 30 minutes. You may get three if you don't get their attention. All right? Next point. We've talked about this in prior calls, media comparisons. For those of you that do not have a media comparison, stop what you're doing. You need one in the next 48 hours or less. I have sold publishing and advertising for 2 decades. I would not even walk in. If you pause and say, Ernest, I wouldn't walk into a meeting without a publication, I agree. I wouldn't walk into a meeting without a media kit, I agree. And I wouldn't walk into a meeting without a media comparison. If you don't have one, stop what you're doing. You have got to have one in the next 48 hours or less. You can't even walk into a top 10 without a media comparisons. Period. End of story. Every single media source that they're using, you need side-by-side comparisons. We've done this on prior calls. We've woven this into prior calls. There's an entire call, an entire one-hour call that we did with Media Bids a couple of years ago. For those of you that would like to see a sample of a media comparison, I've done hundreds of them. I have just a stock sample with just mocked-up information if you'd like to just see broadly. But you have got to have it in place. If you did not hear the Media Bids call, set aside some time over the next 48 hours. Go listen to it. It's right at the URL where you'll get a follow-up email in the next day. And anyone who wants it, like today, just ping me a note and we'll send it over. Jed will send them the place where all the calls have been recorded. Okay, you must have that. and related to media comparisons, you must have tracking statistics in place. Jed, you mentioned that earlier. You must know the number of phone calls that your advertisers are generating. You must absolutely know that web activity, assuming that you have a website that you're also driving revenue from, which is mandatory, okay? You have to come in and factually be able to say, I'm here because I want three full pages from you. Here are my tracking results. I can show you what all the full pages are generating every month for the last 12 months. I can show you exactly the results of my web activity. Here are my half pages. Half pages, you spend less and you get less. Here are the stats of my half pages. This is exactly how you sell a top 10. If you do not have tracking in place and those kinds of results, you're going to get walked out. You will not have earned their business. If you don't have tracking in place in this day and age, that's been around for more than 10 years. If you want to know why you're not selling more or renewing more, you have got to have tracking in place. We're today talking about top 10. You have to have everything in place, otherwise they will waltz you in and boot you out. You will not earn what you've deserved. Next, you've got to be really clear on the price and value. Jed, you nailed it earlier. You've got to know your cost per thousand. You've got to know what it is versus your competitors. In a quick example, I've worked with a publishing company for a number of years, and it's like, well, we got all these competitors. I said, yeah, but our editorial is 100% focused on your audience. Your competitors, I said, go count the pages. Competitor one's got 10 pages. You've got 110. Look at your cost per thousand. Competitor number two has 4 pages related to your space. Look at your pages. You have 110. These are not competitors. And look at their cost per thousand if you look at the total readership and then take the number of pages that really focus on your audience. Guess what? Their cost per thousand just went up 10 times. And the silence on that call was like, oh, my God. We've never seen our competitors like that. You are the experts. Every one of you, you have to be an expert in your publication. And even when you look at your competitors, they may not be publications of competitors. If I'm a horse publication, and there happens to be a city publication that does 2 pages about horses, and that's why the Lexus dealer is buying in, and their cost per thousand is equal to mine, but there's 50 other pages in that magazine, they're serving a general audience. Lexus bought because there's 2 pages. Their cost per thousand is tenfold what yours is, but who tells that story? Only you can. Only you, as a sales and advertising professional, can shine a light in a dark room. Nobody else can. And that buyer will never draw that conclusion until you show them how to do it. Okay? Very important principle. Unique events. If there is a unique event or sponsorship, for example, if you're a show guide, if you have a unique relationship with your professional organization, if you get access to membership lists, if there's anything that you bring unique to your particular industry or association or profession or niche, and you can show that, and you can bring a letter from that organization, you know, dear Ernest, thank you so much for having your Horse Magazine being the premier magazine for our upcoming show. It's the most important show of the year, and the most affluent decision makers come to this wonderful event, and once again, your publication by name is the most important one that we have out there. I can't wait to put that in front of a top 10. You know what I say in front of a top 10? I slide it across the desk, and I say, and I know you have 2 other publications that you advertise in because you want a little piece of the horse industry. Here's the letter I got from Mary Jane showing me that I'm the exclusive, that I'm the one, that I'm the provider, that I'm the only one that will get access, my publication, to those 650 key decision makers. You want a piece of that for your Lexus buying and advertising? That's why I'm here today. Pretty bold, right, Jed?
Right, right.
Pretty bold when we think about those things. And then lastly, of course, our readership. Anything that we can talk about our readership, about the surveys we've done of our readers, about our distribution, about our circulation. I know all of you have different models, about your direct mail. We only direct mail to these zip codes. We only direct mail to these homeowners. We only direct mail to these demographics and being able to sell and tell that story. That's another one of those key, unique features that when you have a short window of time and you're working with a top 10, you have got to cut to the chase. And you might pause and say, hey, Ernest, those are a lot of points there. Where do we begin? Well, you need all of them. You really need all of them. This is one of those times where you sort of pause and go, but what if I have 2 of them or 3 of them? That's not good enough. These are one of the moments in time as an advertising sales professional, and for those of you that are on this call that are VPs of sales and publishers and owners, you have got to have your house in order. You are not going to get business. That doesn't mean you can't write business day in, day out, the small stuff, the medium stuff. We're not here today for that. We're talking about landing the biggest fish in the sea. We're talking about the biggest sales board in the world that sits up there with those top 10. You got to come in and look at that Lexus dealer every single day and go, what's it going to take? Mary's been on my list for 2 years. I am sick of not getting that business. You've got to get angry. You've got to get focused. You've got to get determined. And then when you get that opportunity, you have to be prepared. There are no second chances for a first impression. When you get an opportunity to go see Mary that you've been salivating for 2 years, you do not get a second chance. You have to come in, loaded, and ready to hunt. And generally, you can take care of it in the first 5 or 10 minutes. You have to make a maximum impact to be able to secure that business.
Well, you know, one thing I just wanted to add, Ernest,
please,
is I often find that it's very, very helpful when determining how to present to an advertiser.
Yes.
Is to think like a consumer. Mm-hmm. Is to understand their product in the same way that a consumer would. You know, obviously that doesn't mean you have to go out and buy a Lexus, but it means that, you know, you need to understand, you know, are they offering financing? Are they, you know, do they have big sales yearly? Mm-hmm. You know, do the new models come out in July? Mm-hmm. You know, do they, you know, you need to know the things, and all this stuff is easily available, you know, but you need to know those things, because those things can really sharpen your presentation and make it even all the more relevant to the mm-hmm. to the person you're speaking with.
Absolutely. It's such a great point, Jed. You know, hey, look, as we wind our call down here at the top of the hour, I mean, man, there is you got to get it right. And you can hear it, you know, in my voice. I can hear it in yours. You got to deliver. You got to get it right. You have to know what that USP is. You have to know what you do really, really well. But only we. Selling is a theater. Selling is a presentation. It's a theater of the mind, and it's a theory. It's a theater of fact, not fiction. You have to go into these presentations and meetings fully and completely prepared. There are no second chances. Okay? So thank you to all of you. We're going to pause in just a moment and open up the lines and give you a different set of instructions here about opening up for maybe 10 or 15 minutes much more casually. Thank you for the questions that have come in. Jed, as always, an absolute pleasure being here together. Thank you so much over all the years, your time, support, the focus on helping those that are your MediaBid clients, and frankly, those that are on this call. If you're not using or working with MediaBids, please explore more. Go to their website. Ask questions. Pick up the phone and talk to them. They know what they're doing. They know about publishing and advertising sales, and they know how to help you find and drive more revenue. So, Jed, as always, it's a pleasure being here.
Well, thanks, Ernest, and, you know, you... As I mentioned earlier in the call, Ernest brings all the knowledge. So once again, thanks for doing it.
Thank you so much. Give me just a moment. I'm going to pause our call, okay?